Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
We've got two readings this morning. The first reading is from Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Now, as a novice speaker, I am going to put you guys to work today. So I was hoping that you would get out a pen and get out a piece of paper. It could be across the creek at the back. There's some space on the back of it. Or there's some paper that we can hand around. Now, don't worry, it won't be group work. It'll be individual reflection. Okay, whilst you're getting that out, I'll just share a little bit about me. I'm not the generous spouse in my marriage. I will confess that quite willingly, especially when it comes to food, chocolate, cake. Think of me like a mother lion protecting her cubs. And if you go to touch my chocolate, your eyes will be scratched out. And sometimes my husband likes to test me in public and I'm forced to share with him and I have to sort of smile and act happily about that, but really, we all know that's untrue. Hands up if you're the more generous or the ungenerous one. Hands up if you're generous in your marriage. Yeah, Jill, good work. Well done, Judy, yes. Lynn Brown, where are you? We shouldn't be naming names, should we? But some people have a gift. And it's true. Now, I want you to think about generosity, given that's the theme for today. We did have a recent sermon series on having a wealth mindset. So maybe if you were here and you remember that, have a think about generosity and what the Bible says, what that sermon series says, and maybe what you think generosity is. And I want you just to have a little scribble on your piece of paper and your pen, with your pen. What's generosity? If you were to tell someone what it is, what's godly generosity? More like it, actually. Godly generosity, and how, as Christians, do we display it? What do we think about it? Lots of people writing, thinking. One of Rick Warren's sermons, he talks about generosity being the most talked about topic in the Bible. So we have an example here of where we know that to God, generosity is so close to his heart. Anyone want to offer some suggestions about what they think about generosity? Want to be brave? I won't call out your name, I promise. Any ideas? Yes, Tony. Oh, what did I say? Sorry, lift my cap up. What did I say? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry, yes, okay.
Giving without thinking of what it costs you to someone who needs it at a lot.
Yep, thank you. Sacrificial sense, yeah. Yeah, 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 thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Rachel. Yes.
Comparing, you know, generosity is not getting a thimble pool or an egg cup pool, but a swimming pool.
Yes, yes. So just that extravagant giving. Yes, yeah. Of what resources you have. Yes, absolutely. And last one. Yes, Mark. Oops, say that again. So give always, even if you've got little to give. Fantastic, thank you. I personally had a think about it, and for me it was really great because it defined the tithing aspect, so giving first to God what is God's, and then the offerings on top of the 10% that we talked about. The Bible was very clear about the Lord wanting to bless his people through generosity, so that we could bless others in the world, and then others would hopefully see the connection between our love for the Lord, our generosity, and their importance. That was one thing. God is the ultimate giver, and we know that through his giving of his son Jesus and the sacrifice Jesus made. But he's the ultimate giver. And I've learned lately to ask for things, and things will happen, they will come. Little or small, help if I need it, advice, comfort, food, cake. We need just ask the Lord and he will answer our requests. And we learnt that the more generous we are for Christ, the more the Lord will give us and entrust us with. And I'll never forget Rod saying he will give us something, even if it's at a minimum spiritual fruit. So it might not be material wealth that he blesses us with, but at a minimum, through generosity, the Lord will bless us with spiritual fruit. Now you might be wondering, okay, get on with it, Sharon. Today's topic is generosity in our relationships, and specifically relationships with those that we're closest to. It might not mean we necessarily get along as well as we could at the moment, but I want you to start thinking, making a list of first-tier people, people who you're closest to. Technically, it might be your family, husband, wife, children. It could be cousins. It could be a neighbour. So on your little piece of paper, just start writing a list of those who are in your first tier, those that you're closest to. And then I'd like you to think about how generosity, what it looks like with those people. And what does generosity with those people look like? Are you generous with your words, your affection, your time, kindness, your love? Have a think about that. What does it look like? Your forgiveness, for example, that's another one. Are we generous with our forgiveness with those people? Our joy? Now, because they're first tier, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not my best self with these people. They might see a grumpier side of Sharon that perhaps you might see, might not see. I'm not probably as generous and loving with these people as I could be with, as I am with my second and third tier people, people that see the Sharon with the mask, I suppose. But when I'm at home, my first tier, see the real Sharon, the authentic, relaxed. And sometimes I can be a little bit grumpy or a little bit irritable, if I'm honest. However, I want you to think, Rick Warren again, who I do listen to a little bit, he says this statement, which I found really confronting actually. If you're not generous to your husband or your wife, your children, those who are on this list that you've written, if you're not generous to them, you don't love them. Have a think about that. If we think of generosity being an expression of love, of self-sacrifice, of putting someone else ahead of our own needs, and we're not doing that, we're putting ourselves first, then we don't really love those people that we've written down. And I said I'm not going to cry, so I won't. However, this was quite confronting for me because I heard this statement, and it was at that point in my life where I wasn't giving of myself to feel like I wasn't present with Phil. I was tired, I was fatigued, I wanted to go to sleep. You know, you got all these reasons and clearly they're obvious why. But I was withholding myself, my conversation from Phil, and therefore I wasn't really loving him because of that fact. And so I actually think Rick Warren is spot on there. And I'm wondering if there's an aspect of ungenerosity within you and those closest to you. Like me, I was withholding my presence, my conversation, myself, my relationship for whatever reason. And perhaps, yeah, there's something obviously I needed to address in that. But how are you with your words of encouragement, say, to your closest? Or are you patient during times of frustration? Are you physically present but yet absent? There are tons of ways that we can express generosity to those closest to us. Have you thought of any ways yourself? Or can you think of any ways that perhaps you're not? I'll give you an example of ungenerosity with those closest to me. At the time, I was 21 and I just joined Deep Creek, so I was a young, sprightly thing. And I was living with Mum and Daniel at the time, but I was very angry. And some people here saw the anger, but it was generally kept behind, you know, at home. I expressed my anger when I was stressed or I had an assignment at uni to do that was like a month late already. I had to go to work at Coles at the deli. I was really angry. And I'd take that anger out on Mum or Daniel. But I remember very clearly the Lord convicting me, saying, these are your closest people, your family, and yet you're treating them like punching bags. This has got to stop. It's not how you love people, through anger and you know, unrighteous anger. And I think I apologised and you know, clearly, Daniel, we're quite close now, I think. Yeah, thumbs up there, that's good. But, yeah, that I was convicted about the need to love properly and generously, and as opposed to being an angry Sharon. So we know the... just have a think in your own lives as I'm talking. The best example of generosity and love is obviously through Jesus' sacrifice, but prior to his most important sacrifice, death on a cross, he spent a lot of time with his closest people, the disciples. And let's just have a think now about how he treated them. Was his behaviour and actions and words, how was that generous towards the disciples? Or did he lack generosity? I mean, have a think. Write it down. How did he treat them? From what you know of the Bible, how did our Lord Jesus treat his disciples? Anyone got any ideas they'd like to share? Lynn, yeah. Yeah. At times, yes. Yes, at times he got frustrated. That is true. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else?
He still had his own tears.
Yes.
Had
closest people to him. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's true. So an investment of time, specifically he did have three of his best friends and then he had the other disciples, but he was very... focused on giving of his time, definitely. Anyone else?
Very patient,
yeah. Absolutely.
Words of affirmation.
Yes. He affirmed his disciples and he told them, like Peter, for example, you're going to be the rock upon which I build my church. Absolutely. Yep, so he's very affirming. Yes, Rachel, hi.
Even though he saw the limitations, but he always also saw what they could become.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, he saw what they could become, definitely. Same with us. Jesus can see what we can be if we put our faith in relationship with him. I also thought at times he was quite gentle with them and he protected them and he warned them, didn't he? So he warned them about the Pharisees' behaviour, not to slip into their patterns of thinking and behaving. So we've got Jesus as an example of how to treat those closest to us. Now you might be wondering, why then did you select a passage about a lady who gave two pennies? The connection there, I'll be explicit, is because what the Lord requires of us as far as generosity goes, yes, we're to give a swimming pool and to give all that we have, but sometimes all that we have, like the lady, was the two pennies. And so therefore, in our relationships, all that I might be able to give Phil, because I'm exhausted, is a kind word, or I might do the dishes. Even though I'm exhausted, my two pennies for Phil not to have to do the dishes is for me to do the dishes. Does that make sense? Like the lady who gave the two pennies, all that she had, sometimes it's all that we can do just to give a pat on the back or a hug or spend time with our children rather than on our phones or ring our parents and or forgive, which is bigger than two pennies. But the lady gave all that she had, and that is what the Lord requires of us, to give all that we have to those closest to us. But in saying that, Jesus spent so much time with his Father, and the strength that he got from the Lord was incredible. To do these things, to be able to give generously and to give extravagantly to those that he loved. He spent so much time with his dad at night, in the morning. And I feel like that was another message that the Lord wanted me to convey. We've got to spend time with him daily. I mean, I can thank a steroid for getting me up early in the morning to spend time with him. That unfortunately effect has worn off now. So I'm sleeping a little bit more and not getting up. But, I mean, it was clear for me that spending time with the Lord daily made a difference in my heart, with my thinking. And so I just implore you, us as a church, to be spending time with the Lord. He wants that so clearly of us. And we know that he will bless us generously if we do that. And some people I know struggle with the concept of the Lord blessing us, but it's written so clearly in the Bible that he will bless us when we spend time with him. Now, you're probably thinking, Sharon, I'm not always cheerful and I'm not always glad to be generous. I just want to be left alone. I want my kids to go away. I don't want to have to talk to anyone. Now, like I said, I'm on a steroid that can make me very irritable, and the nurses call it roid rage. Now, I know that's no excuse, but we do need to accept the fact that within us, there's not always going to be times when we want to be generous and we want to make peace and we want to be kind and we want to give. And that's the flesh versus the spiritual battle that goes on. And Satan, he doesn't want us to love each other as we're commanded to. He doesn't want us to be generous and to think of others ahead of ourselves. He doesn't want us to be friendly and full of joy and full of peace and kindness. Oops, sorry about that. What Satan wants is to destroy our relationships with each other. He wants to get in our heads and say to us, don't make peace with that person. Don't be kind to them. Don't affirm them. He wants to very slowly, slowly rip apart these relationships you've written down. And not just those, obviously, all relationships. Satan wants us to be fighting with each other. And I could use this roid rage as an excuse, but I want to choose a different way. I want to choose Christ's way. It might not be extravagant generosity towards Phil, but rather than getting cranky and grumpy all the time, I want to choose to act lovingly. Even though it might not be extravagant, it might be my two pennies, but I want to choose Christ's way rather than Satan's way of ungenerosity, of selfishness. Does that make sense? When you're being challenged to be generous, sometimes there's a pull, isn't there? Ah, they can pay for their own coffee. Shannon pays for mine a lot. Thank you, Shannon. Very generous. I mean that. Look, I could get him a drink of water, but let him get it himself. There's this pull, isn't it? An internal struggle. And Satan would have us believe that you're just going with the flesh. Don't bother fighting it. But when we choose Christ's way, we're choosing to become more like Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus wants of us. He wants us to push back and to choose generosity, to choose kindness, to use that spiritual muscle that we have over and over. And the more that we use it, the more generous we feel, the more generous we want to become. The old self is put off and the new is put on. It's exciting to bless people with generosity and to see their look of amazement I mean, people are seeing it on me all the time because this church is just blessing me and feel so much. You know, I just love it. Thank you. And when we do it with each other, the world gets to see it and they notice something different. Gosh, you and your husband get along well. You and your children have a really loving, respectful relationship. You and your cousin and your auntie, gosh, what a close family. You really enjoy each other. How come? How come you're so close? How come you've forgiven that offence that they did to you? And it's an opportunity to talk about Jesus, and it's an opportunity for the world to see God's love in action and for God then to be glorified. Another example I have of generosity in relationship is actually with Dee. Now, she's not here and I haven't asked her permission, so I'm a bit naughty. But Dan, don't worry, it's okay. Daniel, hi. I had some things that I wanted to talk to Dee about early last year. And again, there was that pull. No, just put a bit of distance between you and her. You don't need to talk about it. You know, there's an issue, but just focus on your other relationships. But I thought, no, in love, I want to talk to her about it. And it was definitely in love. And not crying. But it was the best thing I ever did. Rather than be ungenerous and put up walls, I fought that off. I fought off Satan's attempt to put a bridge between us. And through generosity of heart, I wanted to be honest with her and work it through, even though it was uncomfortable. It was the best thing for our relationship. So, yeah, I just want to challenge, you know, not challenge you, but just ask you, how are you with your closest? Sometimes making a difficult decision to talk things through can really bless you and your relationship. But, and I'm going to finish up soon, sometimes we're really wounded in relationships. But I want you to think about these closest people, and I want you to think about what the cost is of not loving them through generosity, of not showing them your affection and your care. What's the cost going to be? With Dee and I, it could have been estrangement, it could have been unforgiveness, offence that builds and builds and builds. It could be loneliness, fighting. What's the cost of ungenerosity? Have a think. Resentment. Let's choose to be like that, the city on the hill. Let's choose to be light in this world where people can see the love and the kindness and generosity we have for each other. And it starts with those closest to us. And then it spreads outwards. So I'm wondering, where are you at with those that you're closest to? And if you think you're doing a good job already, if you think you're loving extravagantly and being really generous, remember that you can't outgive God, and so maybe you could ask him for ways to be even more generous with these people. So take a moment now, and I'll finish up in prayer, maybe just to write down any thoughts you might have about how you can express your generosity. Maybe you've been convicted about something that you're being ungenerous about, and maybe you need to say sorry to the Lord or to that person, I'm not sure. But just take a moment now and I'll wrap up in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the most generous God, you are the most generous Dad that we have, and we celebrate that fact. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us hearts of generosity, where we would share our spiritual fruit, where we would share our ideas, our talents and gifts, our love, our faith, our goodness with people, especially those closest to us. We ask that you would bless them, Lord. Bless them with abundance. Help us to think of ways to bless them through generosity. Give us all that we need. May we please you through our acts and thinking. In the name of Christ, we pray all these things. Amen.
Thanks, Shazzy. Sometimes